Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Promise Podcast. My name is Chris, and today you join me on episode 99 of the podcast, as I am joined by my best friend in the whole wide world, Mr. James D. Downey.
Hello.
Episode 90.
Still sounds strange.
It does sound strange. 99. We were just talking before we started there, and we said that we remember back to the first episode that we ever recorded sitting around my kitchen table when you and I actually shared a microphone together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually think that episode ever made it up. I think I have that. I know I have it in my hard drive. I don't think that became the official number, UK number one, but definitely.
Here's an idea. Actually, then you can put that up after 100 and just be like, this is where we started and this is where we are.
Oh, that's actually a great idea, because we're going to need episodes.
Episode zero. That's what it is.
Mm.
Ground zero.
The clock resets. Yeah,
that's where it all fucking started. It'd be interesting to hear because it's so different. We were a gaming podcast as well back then.
Yeah, it was the XI Gaming podcast. Where you come for the games, echoey. But you stay for the truth. Yeah, I know, yeah. But even right up until like episode like 40 or so, 50 even, we were very much game orientated and talking shit like that. But my, how we've grown, D.
Oh, yes.
If you were joining
in the news this week, did you see the new Xbox games? Oh my gosh.
That's actually right. Just that you mentioned that, I was at this part, I was going to talk a little bit about that in the news.
we're past all that childish nonsense.
It's not actually one of my news stories because I was like, I don't want to include this because not everybody plays video games. So I was we'll just touch on it. But yeah, today is the 24th of July, 2020, D, and I have a bit of on this day for you, if I can find it. Nothing overly interesting, though, I have to say. So,
we don't always need an interesting on this day. Sometimes reflecting the mundanity of life is good.
You know? Okay, well, here's mundane for you. 1832, Benjamin Bonneville leads the first wagon train across the Rocky Mountains by Wyoming's South Pass. And in 1940...
Mundane?
Yeah, that's pretty mundane.
Mr. Benjamin, he was a trailblazer for crying out loud.
Well, I don't know. 1982, the single Eye of the Tiger by Survivor from Rocky III soundtrack starts a six-week run at number one on the US charts, wins a Grammy for Best Rock Performance. And in 2005, the 92nd Tour de France winner, Lance Armstrong, retires after winning a record seventh consecutive victory, but is later disqualified in 2012 for doping. So,
yeah. Good times.
Oh, today is also Amelia Earhart's birthday.
You know, Amelia Earhart? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about her last week in the Evie. Oh, we didn't actually.
We didn't, but we should have. It would have been a great time to bring that up, yeah.
Our Aviation Mysteries podcast.
That's right. You can go and check that out if you want. We talked about the disappearance of flight MH370 from Malaysia. Mm-hmm. This week, we're not going to talk about that at all. I'm really, really excited to hear about what you have. Obviously, if you found the podcast, you probably read the title, but I still don't know what D is bringing for our main topic as such this week. I know it's a story. I know I'm going to enjoy it. I don't know what it is. So I'm really excited.
If you're like Christopher and you're coming in blind, you're really going to enjoy the story.
Excellent.
But if you're not coming in blind, you've probably heard because it's been in the news fairly recently.
Really?
Anyway, yeah, that's why I picked it up is because I read about it and I was like, oh, gotta tell this story.
To be fair, I've stopped listening to the news like a long time ago, like during like the whole COVID thing. I just stopped completely. So I've been getting no news. So
yeah, you wouldn't have heard it in that type of news. It's not that type of news. Okay. It's more like the type of news that what you're gonna hear on this podcast, where it's like not really mainstream, but
yeah, okay. Does it involve Nick Cage?
It's loosely related to Nick Cage. Like I can make the loosest connection. I'm going to make the connection, Chris, because I'll have some Nick Cage on the podcast. But yeah, not really. But I will make it work.
If you know what I mean. Excellent. I just realized I forgot to record the timestamp, so that's out the window.
There you go.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you found this podcast, remember that the video version is available over on youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast. If you want to come face to face with me and D, watch the video version over there. If not, the audio version is available on all podcast hosting services. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast. I think we're good to jump into the news this week, D, if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I have a little bit of interesting news for you. So I read this. I read this a good while ago, D, but it popped back up in my news feed. Now, I say I didn't listen to the news. Continuity error here, okay, because I get some news, all right? But Lost, there is a Lost reboot reportedly in talks at the minute. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Lost was one of the defining shows of the 2010s. You and I can both agree with that, D. And the surreal science fiction drama, which aired for 6 seasons, 6 years between 2004, 2010, I think, maybe in for a reboot. This source came from the same source who told us that Transformers was being rebooted and that Ashigo Tano will be in season 2 of The Mandalorian. I've completely butchered that name. But both of those were completely correct. So The Lost might be receiving the reboot treatment. Apparently, it's only being discussed. Nothing is finalized yet, but we're being told that if it goes forward, it'll be a more, quote unquote, more mature, and that it will likely end up on streaming service. The idea of rebooting has been brought up before, but it seems that this take stands a pretty good chance of moving forward, as there are now serious discussions happening. That's all I have in the news so far. But Lost reboot.
I hope it's not a full reboot. I hope it's like a soft, like kind of like what happened in the original Lost still happened, but like this is kind of like jumping into a completely different, like,
yeah,
you know, period of time, like maybe 10 years after, 10 years before, or something like that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be
I also cool. Don't like the way they call it being more mature. Lost was pretty mature. I mean, there was a lot of crazy shit that happened, but like, you know.
Yeah, Lost was mature. Like, yeah, definitely.
Kids at all?
No.
We didn't watch it as kids. That's beside the point.
Yeah,
but you know,
Lost is. I meant to say I'll touch on that later on, but I recently watched the last 2 episodes of Lost again.
Oh, excellent.
But I'll touch on that later on my week. Another piece of news: the first images of Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and the cast in Truth Seekers. Do you hear about this?
I did not.
No. So written by Simon Pegg, Frost, Nat Saunders, and James Serafinowicz, the director.
Oh, no, wait.
No?
James Serafinowicz? Peter Serafinowicz?
I got James Serafinowicz.
Okay.
And directed by Criminals Jim Field Smith, Truth Seekers is about a team of part-time paranormal investigators who team up to uncover and film ghost sightings across the UK, sharing their adventures on an online channel for all to see. However, as they stake out haunted churches, underground bunkers, and abandoned hospitals with their array of homemade ghost-detecting gizmos, their supernatural experiences grow more frequent and more terrifying and even deadly as they begin to uncover a conspiracy that could bring about Armageddon for the entire human race.
Sounds terrific.
It does. I mean, those two especially, I think that's gonna be awesome.
Definitely.
That's gonna be really, really good. I went through there like a week or two ago of just watching Simon Pegg movies again, and by that I mean I watched Hot Fuzz, I watched World's End for the first time, and Run Fat Boy Run. So
that's a good collection of movies.
I mean, it's,
is this a movie or is this a TV show?
I think this is a TV show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
James Serafinowicz. Peter Serafinowicz is the brother of that guy. Mm-hmm. And if you want to just have, like, if you want to go down the YouTube rabbit hole some night, look up Peter Serafinowicz impressions. He had this show on BBC One ages ago. The man is hilarious. He's
the
so
show,
fucking
was the show called Impressions? Funny.
No, it was called, I think it was called the Peter Serafinowicz Show,
because
that's what creative. They call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if anyone wants a fun YouTube rabbit hole journey, go for that.
Okay. Another piece of random news for you now, D. A mysterious vampire slaying kit, including a pistol and a knife, has been put up for auction. So, you know. The box has been valued at up to 3,000 Great British pounds and includes a glass vial with unknown contents and a bottle of shark's teeth. The gothic container worth between 2,000 and 3,000 sterling also comes packed with pliers, rosary beads, and a bottle of shark's teeth. And also inside the metal bound box is an ivory robed wolf carrying carrying rosary beads, as well as a blue file, and also an enamel painting that depicts the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no record of the box's origin, but the 1842 copy of the New Testament, which is inside, does bear the inscription of the Isabella Swarbrick. The current owner from the West Midlands, who wishes to remain anonymous, said that they do not know very much about its history. They've had it for 3 years and is now going up for auction. I will put pictures of this box because I just think it's fucking, it's just insane that like this even exists. I'll put this up on the video version if you want to head over and look at that. But this is insane. Why would anybody buy this? Just looking at this, why would anybody buy this?
I mean, part of me can understand why. It's like, I have a, if you were like super goth, I have a vampire kit, like a vampire, it was a defense kit or something. It's like, yeah, vampire pepper spray,
like,
or something.
But it's like the box could fetch up to 3,000. Like, you could make your own box now for that. Like,
yeah, but that's the point, Chris. You could, but no one would want it. No one would care. But these people made it, like, it must be like in the 1800s, and they've kept it. And it's because they've kept it that people are like, well, there must be a reason they kept it.
You could fake it,
intrigued.
You could fake it.
Oh, sure,
it.
Yeah. If you're good at it.
Items.
You could only do it for one thing. You couldn't do another vampire box. You'd have to think of something else. You'd have to think of something like
a werewolf box? It just comes with a single silver bullet on like a red,
good,
like kind of a red, like silky kind of sheet thing. Mm-hmm. There you go. Werewolf box. And like maybe like a silver knife, like a wee tiny one just sitting there. And then you could have like that's werewolves and vampires done. You could have like, I don't know, like, would you have a zombie one? No, there wouldn't be much point in a zombie one. You'd have to fill it with so much crap, wouldn't you? I don't know, but there's loads
zombies
you could make and sell these. Oh my god, this is,
there you go, right?
Yeah, a doomsday box almost.
Let's just drop the podcast now. Get brainstorming on this.
I think so. I think I'm going to go ahead and just shut this episode off right now.
99, so close, but.
One more bit of random news. The giant swarm of flying ants has been spotted from space flying over the UK.
What
do you think of that?
Oh, right, okay. I thought the ants were from space.
No, that I'm. Who knows? A 50-mile-wide swarm of flying ants has been making its way over the UK, and it's so huge it's been spotted from space. The enormous cloud of insects was picked up by the Met Office's weather radar over Kent and Sussex on England's southeast coast. The Weather Service said smaller swarms could be seen over London. During the summer, ants can take to the skies in mass emergence, usually on warm, humid, and windless days. Hashtag Flying Ant Day is what they posted.
Hashtag. This needs a hashtag.
The Royal Society of Biology points out that there's not always one such day, with flying ants spotted on as many as 96% of the days between June and September. But this is just so big that they could actually see this abnormality, I guess, flying over. Like 50 miles wide, D. That's from me to you, wide.
Yeah, it's hard to grasp that.
I know.
It's like, you see me to you, it's like, we're right over there. Yeah, that's pretty insane, yeah. Well, like, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of ants in the world. Flying ants. Giant flying ants. Then I'll be concerned.
Giant bumblebees. What about the Xbox conference? Did you see anything?
I watched it.
I skimmed through it because I was hoping to see some Gears and I didn't see Gears. So I watched Halo Infinite and then I turned it off.
Yeah, I did. I actually watched the whole thing. It was okay. It was fine. I feel like they could have done more, but it's hard to know when everything's all. I'm used to E3, you know? Yeah. So we're not getting that.
What is this that I've seen? Did they come out and say that they're done with like making consoles or something? No.
No, I don't think so.
Just a click.
Apparently, they've got two coming in the. Oh, that's probably just clickbait. I'd say the reason that was is because the thing that they went with for this was like every game is coming to Game Pass. So
right, okay.
Every
game was coming to Game Pass.
Every game that they showed yesterday was coming to Game Pass. Just
Jesus.
So all the first party stuff and a bunch of like other games.
Yeah,
that was the whole thing for it. I think a lot of people are like, oh yeah, this is what they're really showing off, is that just the Game Pass thing. It was fine. I enjoyed some of them. Fable, they have Fable.
Fable, yeah. What did you think of Halo?
Jury's still out. I loved parts of it. Like when they opened up, it was like open world. Yeah. I'm not sure of it being totally open world, but that's whatever. Yeah. We'll see. And then the fighting looked tremendous.
The fighting,
and then they went up. Yeah, and then they went up and did a cutscene, which I wasn't fond of either. Yeah. So I still think this has got potential to be amazing, but also potential to be yet another letdown.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I was expecting to see Gears, no?
But Gears just came out like last year, so they're probably...
Oh, yeah, that's... Oh, yeah, because I never played it, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, I never played it. Yeah, that's right. You played it, though, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It's good.
Yeah. It's good. It's okay.
It's a good game.
It's okay. I have some wholesome news, Dee, but I'm going to keep that until later on in the show, because I'm just going to, like, skim through, like, the Reddit, like, wholesome, just like what you did last week.
Oh, okay,
bah, 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 cool. Bah, bah, bah.
Yes, very good.
And have you seen anything from Ghost of Tsushima?
I haven't personally seen anything of it. I've heard a lot of good things.
I've been watching quite a few videos on it, but I'm not blown away by it. I thought it was going to be so much more.
Yeah. I remember seeing it. I remember seeing one of the trailers at E3 for it, and I was like, this game looks amazing.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And then when I see more of the gameplay, I was like, this game looks like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, okay.
And I was
like,
I'm not so sure. But apparently it does, like, it hits all the tropes, but, like, it does them all really well, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I just, from what I've seen, it just looks very, well, compared to what we've seen at, like, E3, I was a bit let down as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's awesome, so. I think
at this point in the whole PlayStation 4 part, a good game is as good as a great game, because everyone's just like holding off for that PlayStation 5.
Why they didn't wait, I guess, and just launch as a launch title? Because, you know, surely it's gonna, are they gonna do a remastered? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they'll do.
I mean, Last of Us is gonna get remastered, so
for sure.
Yeah.
They can't really do that now, because aren't Xbox, they're just doing, like, if you have the game, like, anywhere you get it on the new, like, if you buy the new Halo on the current one and then buy the new console, you'll get the new version of Halo on the new console.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it'll look really bad now if Sony come out with a bunch of remasters.
Jeepers. I did not know that.
I'm hoping Sony do the same, and they're just like, yeah, just here's updated, better.
I'm excited for the next Ratchet & Clank, though. That was advertised.
Yeah, you know? Portal. What's it?
Yeah.
It's got a good name. I forget.
Yeah,
what
the
name
was. Yeah. It was showing off. It was like showing off like the speed of like the
different worlds and
everything. Yeah, like the loading times on the PS5, basically. I'm excited for that. But that's all I have to offer. Do you answer me this? Do you have Breath of the Wild? Did I give you Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, I have your Breath of the Wild. That's right.
Ah, I was wondering.
You can have that back. Like,
I would say
anytime.
I just took a notion to play Breath of the Wild during the week, and I was like, I'm going to play it. You know, I just took this real heavy, and I was like, I don't fucking have Breath of the Wild.
Can't do it.
Who has this game?
Can't do it.
I was like, I don't think I give it the D. He went on for a while, and I wasn't sure. I know I have your Wolfenstein, Wolfenstein 2, and I have.
You played it?
No, I have not. No, I also have a couple more belonging to you, I think.
Do you know what I have of yours, right?
What's this?
And you probably have never noticed it missing, but if you ever did,
game,
I have it. No, DVDs. This is plural.
DVDs.
You'll not get it. I was so shocked when I seen it sitting on my shelf. I was back home and
is it like a group of DVDs together?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there five?
Yeah.
Is it Rocky?
Yeah, it's Rocky. Anthology. I have the Rocky anthology.
The only reason I know that, D, is because, again, like, it must be like 6, 7, maybe 8 months ago, I was like, I'm going to watch Rocky. And I went to get it. And I was like, I don't have
it.
Then I started doubting myself, being like, did I ever buy that? Or did I just lend that? Did I just borrow that from somebody?
And that's mine. And I lent it to you for years.
I think, yeah, that's like what I was assuming. And I was like, no, I just streamed it eventually. But I was like, I thought I owned the DVD. Maybe not. But there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the news. That's all the news I have for this week. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I wanted to get through it. I want to hear the story. I really want to hear it. I just want to know what you're bringing this week. But before we get into it, a couple of things I want to say. Firstly, where to find us. Any podcast hosting service, you get the audio version. And you can find the video version over at youtube.com. Just search for youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast. You can get in contact with us via our email address, which is
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
That's the one. If you have any comments, queries, questions, whatever. Send us something, you know, give us an idea for a topic, and then we can start discussing. Perfect. I want to talk about...
Need help with your math homework? Just drop us an email.
Drop us an email. We'll see what we can do. Episode 100. We're working on it. It won't be next week. It won't be the week after. but it will be the week... we're hoping for the week of the 15th of August. That'd be right, Dee? Because we now both go away and are unable to do that. But if we're both... Well, I might be able to work something that we get some kind of content up, maybe. I'll tell you what I'm thinking after.
Get some content.
But there'll be something. But the 100th episode is coming in around the 15th of August. I'm really looking forward to that. And last thing I want to mention is, again, if you haven't done so already, remember that you can use our discount code EmptyPromisePodcast over at calzeralabs.com. Get yourself some serious good skin serum, moisturizer, protection, whatever you want to call it. It's fantastic stuff, guys. Just go calzeralabs.com, put it into your cart, go to checkout, and then just type in Empty Promise Podcast, and then whoosh, watch that number drop.
Is it Empty Promise Podcast or just Empty Promise?
Oh, it's just Empty Promise. Yeah, here I am spreading the discount code. The discount code will be in the description.
No 10% for you guys who just didn't listen to this part of the podcast.
20%. It's
20%. 20%.
20%. I know, like, we're practically giving the stuff away.
Yeah, these things are on the street.
You know, but definitely use it. It is some quality stuff. Now that all my talking is done, I get to sit back like the rest of you and listen to Dee's wonderful story.
Ah, yes. Let me tell you the tale of one Forrest Fenn. I won't do the voice, though.
Forrest Fenn?
Forrest Fenn, yeah. Mm. So, basically what I have here, Chris, is a story, a true story, and a very recent, the events happened quite recently, about a real-life treasure hunt.
Okay.
Honest to goodness,
now,
buried treasure, hidden treasure.
Yeah, okay. Now, when you say this, like, I'm picturing, like, Bluebeard and his companions, or Blackbeard, or whatever the hell you want to call him. Like we're opening up like a big crate, and there's gold coins, like Nick Cage, National Treasure. Like that's what I'm thinking.
And that's how you're gonna Nick Cage this week. So, fake National Treasure, because that's the type that literally it's a perfect parallel to this story.
Okay.
Except this is true, and we're talking about something similar. We're talking about gold. We're talking about buried gold, hidden gold.
You don't know the National Treasure is not real. You've never seen the back of the Declaration of Independence. You've never seen it.
I would like to rescind my comment. Okay. I would like to take that back, because I do not stand by that. Until it's proven to be false, I assume it's true. But this we know to be true for sure, right?
Okay.
This is the hidden treasure of Forrest Fenn.
Okay.
And to get you a little bit of an idea about this, about who Forrest Fenn is,
yeah, I was gonna and say, I'm assuming Forrest Fenn is a person, not a place.
It's a man. Okay. It's a man. And we're going to talk a little bit about him and find out why he has hidden treasure, how that came about.
Why anyone has hidden treasure? Well,
this is it.
Treasure at all, really.
Let me tell you a little bit about Forrest Fenn.
Okay.
And what compelled him to create a real-life, honest-to-God treasure hunt. Forrest Fenn was born on August 22nd, 1930, in Temple, Texas. Do you hear Temple, Texas?
I've heard of that somewhere before.
Yeah, I feel like I've really... Texas. I always hear of it. Temple, Texas.
Texas is a big place, like, to be fair.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But being a young Texan boy, mm-hmm. he developed a love and passion for the outdoors from a very young age, frequently visiting Yellowstone National Park on family vacations.
Yellowstone.
So Yellowstone, this massive, wild park.
Huge. It's absolutely massive. It's actually the birth, or not the birthplace, but the home of old geyser, isn't it? Or is that Yosemite?
It's got those geysers. It's got these, what do you call that? The big mountain, the bread loaf mountain or something.
Oh, yeah. Sugarloaf mountain.
Sugarloaf mountain. Yeah. It's got all, it's basically this
stuff.
Like,
we know stuff on this podcast.
So from a very young age, he was out family vacations in these places. As a young man, he would explore the wilderness, hiking through the mountains, fishing in the rivers, orienteering throughout the wilderness.
Okay.
He was like a sort of an outdoorsman. He was an outdoorsman. He was proud of being an outdoorsman. He would brag about how he was able to navigate back to civilization from being out in the wilderness using old techniques.
Yeah. I like that. That's cool.
Apologies if anyone can hear our dogs barking. Something has frightened them.
Can't hear anything.
So he joined the United States Air Force, mm-hmm. where he obtained the rank of major and was awarded the Silver Star for his service in the Vietnam War. After retiring from, I wrote the Navy, even though he was very clearly in the Air Force. After retiring from the Air Force, he entered the world of art and sculpting in a desire to try something new. So, yeah, he really took a left turn after the outdoorsman, military sort of background that he developed. As it happens, he was pretty damn good at it, became a prolific collector. He quickly amassed a collection of fine art and sculptures. He created this gallery called Fan Galleries in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
And he made a pretty penny selling paintings and other sort of rare items.
How do you become like a collector of fine art?
I don't know what I mean. It's not like this. He wrote a book, so you can probably read that and find out.
Like, is he rich?
Yeah, he's rich. He has hidden.
Did you say he wrote a book?
He wrote a book, yeah. I'll talk a little bit more about the book in a short bit. But yeah, like he was like a well renowned collector, and like a lot of, I think Jackie Kennedy was in his gallery to buy some art, once.
Yeah.
He became well known in the art world for selling like great pieces of art and keeping good company. So he's like a well known, well respected, well liked kind of guy, right? In 1988, he was diagnosed with cancer and was told that it was likely terminal.
Ooh, okay.
So, faced with his own mortality, he wondered about his legacy and he was inspired. He decided that he would hide a chest of valuables somewhere in the wild with the intention of creating a public search for it. A treasure hunt.
Like
a literal treasure hunt.
That's cool.
He also planned for this spot, for like this buried treasure, to be like his final resting place. So he wanted this idea of legacy to be like the man who buried his wealth and put it out for the world to find, and that's where he would like reside for all time. Which is that's really cool.
Yeah. So
obviously
he didn't make it known that he wanted to be buried where he was burying the treasure, because if people knew that, they would just dig him up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. But they'd have to, they would have to find him first. That would be the idea.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
As it turns out, he survived. He won his battle with cancer.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of changed his perspective. Well, it didn't change his perspective, but it changed his timeline a little bit. Despite not dying from cancer, the idea of a treasure hunt remained strong in his mind. So, in 2010... So quite a while later after his diagnosis in 1988, he released a self-published novel called The Thrill of the Chase, a memoir.
Nice.
So this is basically just a collection of short stories about his life, anecdotes from his childhood, talks about the art world, talks about exploring when he was younger and his love for the outdoors and the wild.
Mm-hmm.
But it also describes how Fenn had placed a small bronze treasure chest full of gold, rare items, and other treasures and hidden it in the mountains somewhere north of Santa Fe.
Wow.
This is he wrote in this book specifically that he'd done this. And he'd hidden this little box, this little treasure box, somewhere in the mountains somewhere north of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Is that the only clue he gave?
No, not by a long shot.
Okay.
So this is where we get into the back of the Declaration of Independence here. All the clues leading into each other.
Mm-hmm.
He encouraged people to begin the hunt for his hidden treasure, and he was giving them some hints. The first of which came in the form of a poem.
A poem?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Chris, I have the poem here. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read through the whole thing, and a little bit later, we're going to actually look at like each of the clues that are like hidden within.
Okay.
But I'm going to read this out, and you can start formulating ideas and start seeing if you can work out where this is now.
Okay.
At this point, all he said is that it's somewhere north of Santa Fe.
Santa Fe. Okay.
He later clarifies that it's somewhere in the states of New Mexico, Wyoming, Montana, and another. I'll read that out when we get there. So it's somewhere up north of Santa Fe in the Rocky Mountains.
Okay.
Which are massive, by the way.
Absolutely, so, industrial scale. Yeah.
Doesn't really narrow it down, but that's why we need the poem for some clues.
Okay.
So here we go.
This is a first for the Empty Promise podcast, poetry.
Poetry. So, poetry on pod.
Yeah.
It's a new segment.
POP. Yeah. Poetry on our pod, poop.
I like it.
Sorry, go on.
So here's the first poop segment. As I have gone alone in there, and with my treasures bold, I can keep my secret where, and hint of riches new and old. Begin it where warm waters halt, and take it in the canyon down, not far but too far to walk, put in below the home of Brown. From there it's no place for the meek, the end is drawing ever nigh. There'll be no paddle up your creek, just heavy loads and water high. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down, your quest to cease, but tarry scant with marvel gaze, just take the chest and go in peace.
Ooh.
So why is it that I must go and leave my trove for all to seek? The answer I already know. I've done it tired and now I'm weak. So hear me all and listen good. Your effort will be worth the cold. If you are brave and in the wood, I give you title to the gold.
Oh shit.
And that's the poem.
Oh shit. Right. I'm going to tell you
what I've
jotted down from that. Okay.
Yeah.
So where warm waters halt. Okay, so clearly there has to be some kind of warm water that stops. And then we go down from it. And then, but it's too far to walk. So we're going to have to find a place where warm water stops, move south, I'm assuming. But it's too far to walk, so it's going to be quite a distance south. And then he says blaze. I just wrote down the word because it's a cool word. But then he also says cold. He also mentioned cold towards the end. So we're going to move from warmer waters to somewhere, if you can brave the cold. So... where the hell are we going?
that's kind of where the poem leads you, isn't it?
Holy shit!
Because it's interesting though. Like you highlighted a bunch of like what a lot of people think are like the key parts of the poem. Like,
well, I am quite the treasure hunter, Dave.
I think it was so cool as well. You specifically call out blaze, which is like people. He will later describe the blaze line in not in detail, but he'll give like a major hint related to that one.
Okay.
But yeah, like it's pretty cool. I mean, the thing is, really you say like where warm waters halt and it's cold. Like the Rocky Mountains is pretty much like 100% that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
You know, it's
where cold warm waters halt. I'm assuming is like maybe from like the waters from like the coast stop maybe, and then we move inland from there.
Mm-hmm. But,
I mean, I'm just clutching at the straws here, really.
So it's like. Yeah, like apparently there's 9 main clues hidden in that poem, which most people have broken down as number one, begin it where warm waters halt. So that's like, that's where you start the quest, essentially. Yeah. So yeah, is it somewhere where water is especially hot or cold, or is it somewhere where there's a change in temperature in the water? And take it in the canyon down, not far but too far to walk, put it in below the home of Brown.
The canyon down as well.
The canyon down, yeah. So you're thinking probably down a canyon, like literally a canyon.
Yeah.
He ruled out the Grand Canyon. He ruled out the Grand Canyon in Yellowstone. There's some sort of canyon in Yellowstone.
Would it be like Utah? There's a load of canyons in Utah.
I'll run through the rest of the clues. He later gives like some specifics about like where it is and where it is not.
Oh.
That helps narrow it down. But specifically talking about the clues, there's like in the canyon down, like, is it water flowing down a canyon or is it just a canyon beside a lake or something? This is an interesting one. put in below the home of Brown. So Brown is spelled with a capital B.
Put in the home of Brown?
Yeah. So, and it's Brown with a specifically a capital B. So it's not like...
So it's a person, a place, or a thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
God.
But why?
Why?
Too Far to Walk is actually a reference to another of his books. He wrote a book called Too Far to Walk.
Ooh, what's that a lot book of people, about?
I don't actually know.
Damn.
I guess it's more of his short stories. A lot of people read into that to try and find some further clues, but he said, like, the clues are in this book, the Thrill of the Chase.
Okay, I'm buying that book.
Other sort of like key parts, heavy loads and water high.
Yeah. So
people were thinking like a dam or a waterfall, heavy loads, water high. The one that you picked up on, If You've Been Wise and Found the Blaze.
Yeah.
This has been described, this is a very specific object or mark. So we had to specify this. It's like, yeah, it's not like the sun or something that's well lit. Know. It's a specific thing. You have to see a specific thing that would you, he would call a blaze.
Blaze.
And is probably key to finding the treasure. So if you find the blaze, you're more or less there. You've done all of the work.
Yeah.
So, and this is actually, it's so interesting. If you go up on YouTube, you go on Google or whatever and start looking up about this, like so many people are talking about their guess of where the blaze is or what the blaze is. And they're like, once you find this, if you just go there, you'll go and you'll find it. And it's, don't even worry about it. That's totally where it is.
They're just saying that if you find this blaze.
They're like, you know, we found the blaze. We know what the blaze is. They talk about it as in like finding the blaze is essentially finding the treasure. Like it's the key.
Well,
it's the key to all of this.
I just Googled the word blaze because I wanted to get a dictionary definition. And it's a very large or fiercely burning fire used in various expressions of anger, bewilderment, or surprise as a euphemism for hail. Burn fiercely or brightly. The fire blazed merrily. Fire a gun repeatedly or indiscriminately. They storm the main entrance with guns blazing.
Blazing.
Damn.
Yeah, I think that's why you had to specify that it's like a specific object or a mark. Like it's not like the conceptual idea of a blazing fire.
Yeah, like a fire.
Blazing gunfire or something like that. He speaks of a marvel gaze. So like we're assuming it's beautiful scenery.
Stare at something, yeah.
And then again, as you mentioned, your effort will be worth the cold if you are brave and in the wood. So
it could be a really, really, really nice place for a sunset. The blaze being the sun, marvel gaze.
Sunset. Yeah.
There you go. I got
so. But then it's like, how do you narrow that down? And like the Rocky Mountains, it's like so many beautiful sunsets.
Yeah, that's very true.
But yeah, in the cold and in the wood, those are the like sort of, your effort will be worth the cold if you were brave and in the wood. So proximity to pine trees was something he specifically mentioned. So like pine trees, you're nearby wooded area rather than just
in this forest.
Not near the wooded area, I don't know. Or in a river. So
That's a lot of clues from just a poem. But do any
People have been reading into this. Like so many people have been reading into this, man. He clarified a couple of things. He says it's located in the geographical region of the Rocky Mountains.
Okay.
So the Rocky Mountains, what you would consider the Rocky Mountains, it's in there somewhere. Rocky Mountains are massive.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really narrow it down. He says it will be found within the boundaries of one of the following states, New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, or Montana.
But isn't New Mexico, like they have like, don't they have like Copper Canyon? Which is another canyon, and it's fucking enormous.
This is it. Like, these are four massive states. It basically
call them states again.
Wyoming, Montana, New Mexico, Colorado.
Wow.
So if you imagine a map of the United States, that's just drawing a line from like Canada to Mexico. Like that's the full length of it.
Jesus.
He says that it's located more than 66,000 links north of Santa Fe, which apparently is like 8 miles north of Santa Fe. So it's at least 8 miles north. Like it's not any closer to Santa Fe than that. That's what he's trying to clear up because he lives in Santa Fe. And I think a lot of people were like going around his property trying to find this. And here's like the other kind of like, these really help you break it down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's between 5,000 feet and 20 sorry, 5,000 feet and 10,000 feet in height. So it's not like at the top of a mountain, right?
Like of elevation. So that's the kind of area that you have to look between. So yeah. Anywhere between 5,000 and 10,000, Jesus, like that's a big window.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also probably, I think it's like the most common, like, you know, everything in the Rocky Mountains is at least above 5,000. Yeah.
Shit.
He's a couple other things that have been cleared up, where Warm Waters Halt is not related to a dam. Okay. Apparently, it's not buried in an outhouse. In fact, it's not buried at all. Well, it's not the. He said, I didn't say I buried it. I said I hid it. So you're kind of inclined to believe he didn't bury it. So it's not actually.
And it's not actually a mark in the ground. It could literally be sitting behind a tree.
Exactly.
Or in a broken tree.
He says it's not in a mine and it's not in a graveyard. So because people were digging up, you know, in places they shouldn't be, obviously, looking for it. He says you can find it without a flashlight during the day. So it's not in like some.
It's not in somewhere dark. Yeah. Okay. Jesus.
The treasure chest is not underwater, nor is it near the Rio Grande River. It is not necessary to move large rocks or climb up or down a steep precipice. So it's not like, you know, way up on top or way down below. He also says, remember that I was 80 years old when I made the two trips from my vehicle where I hid the treasure. So an 80-year-old man can make the trip.
Jesus. Huh.
I'm not giving a lot of people a lot of clues because he specifically mentioned his vehicle in that as well. So they were like,
so it has to be within like, you know, there's got to be roads or boundary roads or.
It's walking distance from somewhere you can park your car.
Okay.
You know, and an 80-year-old man can do it. Albeit it's an 80-year-old man who like has lived out in the wild or has worked out in the wild, you know, all his life. So, you know, maybe that's qualified for something.
Jesus.
But yeah, like, it's mad, isn't it?
This is crazy, D. Like, that someone has done this.
This man did it. Chris, about $2 million it was evaluated at. $2 million, roughly, in like, gold and other treasures.
Has anybody found this gold?
Well, Chris, you're getting ahead of the story, aren't you?
Sorry.
Because this is 2010 he did this, right?
Okay.
And people, like tens of thousands of people have been searching. Like people from all over the world have been searching for this. People have made trips from like Scotland, you know, like Europe.
Yeah.
Obviously in America, so like a lot more people in America are willing to make that trip over to Yellowstone, to Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about four massive states.
Yeah.
There's a couple of different like ways people interpret the poem. Some people think it's like a A to B thing, where it's like you go to where Warm Waters Halt, and then you go down the canyon.
The
you
next
go
bit. To you, yeah, you yeah, yeah.
Some people think the whole poem is describing one woman. Specific area. It all relates to one area, and that's why there's like so many different solves they call it in the community. Like, yeah. My solve for the treasure is here. And a lot of people will solve it without ever actually going there because they can't physically like.
Yeah, they don't have the means to get there. Yeah, I don't know if there's like $2 million worth of gold. I think you'd make that trip if you were sure that that's where it is.
That's it. And some people are so sure. Some people have claimed that that he moved it, that they worked it out, and Forrest Fenn moved it so that it wouldn't be found. He wanted it to be there for 100 years or 1,000 years. He didn't want it to be found after a couple of years. So some people claim that. Other people just claim like they're certain they know the area. Like they know that they're within a couple of feet of it, and they just can't find it. They think
that's a bold statement.
Some people claim that he's lying. It's all made up.
So from 2010 to even now, like even if that chest was sitting out somewhere, it's got to be like well covered now. Surely, you know.
That's it. Yeah, that's it as well.
Weathering and different elements and things.
How do you account for that?
Animals and whatnot.
The bronze treasure chest. It's probably designed to be like watertight, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a couple of theories.
Okay.
These are kind of interesting. So like some of these are like sort of populated across the internet. And I just like going through these because they kind of explain some of the cues and some of the clues and some of the reasoning for some of the clues. So one suggestion is Clear Creek in Yellowstone.
Okay.
Yellowstone Creek basically comes up all the time because people put a lot of weight in the fact that he grew up in Yellowstone.
So you know, he was there when he was young. He knows it, yeah, okay.
And they're claiming that, you know, that's more than likely where he would have went. He'd be more familiar with it and he'd have like an emotional link to it. So a lot of people go with places in Yellowstone, but this place, Clear Creek, is where they claim they think that this is it. So begin it where warm waters halt. So Clear Creek is like beside a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And upstream of this lake, there's a river that runs. That river becomes, in the summer, that river becomes too hot for fish. So like you wouldn't catch any fish in the summer up there.
Yeah. Where warm water.
Yeah. So where warm water halts is this lake beside Clear Creek.
Okay.
Home of Brown. So, you know, we talked about the Brown, yeah, the Capital Bay. I was talking about the place. This one's kind of interesting. So there's a mountain there beside Clear Creek called Osborne Mountain. In 1902, archaeologist Barnum Brown discovered the first T-Rex skeleton in a museum. Sorry, he discovered the first T-Rex skeleton ever, right? A guy called Barnum Brown.
Okay.
And it was first showcased in a museum owned by Henry Fairfield Osborne. So the link is home of Brown is the discovery. It's the home of Brown's discovery.
So where he found that dinosaur?
It's not even where he found the dinosaur. He found the dinosaur, God knows where, but the dinosaur was displayed at Osborne Museum.
Museum.
And this is Osborne Mountain.
And whereabouts is that?
It's right beside this Clear Creek place in Yellowstone.
Okay. Ooh, right, okay.
And people put a lot of weight on that because Forrest Fenn is a collector, obviously, of rare things he got. So that's the type of things that he would be really interested in. And he's kind of paying homage to this great archaeologist.
Yeah.
From there, things started to get a little bit more muddly. You don't really have any clear, like, obvious things. No paddle up your creek. This is Clear Creek.
Yeah.
But it's called Creek, even though there's no, like, the creek has, it's like, there's no water in it. You walk it. You walk the path.
Oh, right. So, okay.
No paddle up your creek. You don't need a paddle to go up this creek. Canyon Down. It's called Creek, but it is a canyon. Like, it's just like a canyon. Yeah, so yeah. You're down the canyon. But that's all people have. They just have that area. They don't have anything more specific. They can't get, you know, you can't get like a lead on the next part.
Yeah,
we'll say for Clear Creek. Lamar Valley is another one. This is in Yellowstone as well.
Yellowstone's fucking huge, man.
Yellowstone is huge. It's over two states. Like, it's not the full of two states, but it's split like Wyoming and Montana. So, like, it's like, fuck me.
Yeah.
But, Lamar Valley. So, where warm waters halt. There's a place in Lamar Valley called Icebox Canyon. So, people are kind of like, Icebox is as good as they can get where warm waters halt. Ice. The other reason it might potentially be this is there is a highway 212 that runs down from Icebox Canyon.
Right.
And 212 is the boiling point of water in Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
So 212. Home of Brown. Now, this is the most convincing part about this theory for me, anyway. The home of Brown. So Lamar Valley Ranger Station is where, like, the park rangers live whenever they're on the job. Whenever Forrest Fenn was growing up as a child in Yellowstone, the name of the ranger who lived there was Gary Brown.
Ooh.
So a lot of people are saying that's the home of Brown.
His home. Oh, okay.
So that, like, from like the child, Forrest Fenn would have known that's where Gary Brown lives. That's the home of Brown.
But either way, that would be Yosemite as well.
Yeah, sorry, where were we?
So
make a note of that so we can cut that as well.
yeah, that's fine. That's 105.
So home of Brown. That's right. A lot of people put a lot of weight in the fact
that... Yeah, so sorry. That home of Brown is also Yosemite. That'd be right?
This is all Yosemite. Yeah, this is just... All of this is within Yosemite. Yeah. So I understand that, you know, the kid fan would have been like the home of Brown. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's a very sort of not nearly narcissistic thing where it's like people would need to understand his childhood, his life to know that. But that being said, it's in a book of his life. This is where the poem is revealed. So it's probably in the book, this piece of information that you need to know. So if you've read the book, you'd know it. Mm. But again, the whole thing breaks down there. You know, you find the house of Brown, you know, there's forest around, there's lakes, there's rivers. You're trying to find a forested area that's near a body of water, and it's massive. The possibilities are endless, and no one was successful in finding it there. To give you a great idea, right?
Yeah.
Of the scope of this hunt.
Yeah.
The search area, if you take all four of those states and the Rocky Mountain area, is 27 million acres of land.
What?
27 million acres. Now, some people worked out, if you take all the criteria, so you take the fact that it has to be between a certain elevation and near a body of water, etc., that you can narrow this down a lot. You can get it down from, if you just take the fact that it has to be between a certain elevation, you get it down to 600,000 acres.
Okay.
That actually meets the height. A lot. Yeah, exactly. And then when you take the fact it has to be beside a body of water or like a stream or something, it gets down. You can get it way down to like 30,000 acres, something like that. But
still quite large.
Yeah. The problem is like that's 30,000 acres, but there's no like clear link to the poem from that. You still got to go do all that work and like track down the clues.
Yeah.
And you're not going to cover that by yourself.
No.
30,000 acres. You know, it would take you so long to do it and it would cost you so much to do that. Yeah. Like, the 2 million wouldn't even cover it, probably. No.
That's crazy.
So, fan estimates, so this is the man himself, Forrest Fenn, estimates that 65,000 people have searched for his treasure over the years. So 65,000 people. He says he receives emails every day from people asking for hints, asking for clues, throwing out their theories and stuff like that.
No way.
Like people are obsessed with this. If you go to the internet, there's Facebook groups, there's Reddit groups, thousands of people. Like we're talking.
I'm sure there's people searching for it like right now.
Yeah, like the community is 100% alive, right?
Wow.
People go from all across the world. People like sort of suggest that they're willing to help. There's like one guy, some guy from Scotland. He like, you know, like the media group Vox. You ever heard of them?
Yeah.
They did like a whole profile on it. And this guy from Scotland was like, I'll tell you, I'm 100% certain this is where it's found. And if you find it, you can keep the treasure. I don't care. I just want to be part of the discovery.
Yeah.
Like so many people have went looking for it, have went to Yellowstone, have went all up and down the four states looking for it and going following their clues. So much so, matter of fact, 5 people have died.
Ooh, shit.
While searching for the treasure, like
braving the elements.
Yeah, 5 people who like went out. There's been people who've fallen. There was one guy who was like on a rope. He was like abseiling. Yeah, and had an accident. There's people like who've been lost to the elements.
Jesus.
And just people who like tripped and fell. And,
clean you know, victims, like, jeez.
It's clean victims. He was like the New Mexico police asked him to stop, like asked him to end the hunt, saying, quote unquote, he's putting lives at risk. Like Forrest Fenn is putting lives at risk.
Look, nobody's asking these people to search for it, I guess.
That's it. Like, I mean, these people died looking for treasure, but they might as well have been out walking their dog.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Fenn's whole thing as well, he wanted people to get outside. Like, he wanted people to go out there and just explore. Like, the things that brought him so much joy when he was a kid, go out there and just see these beautiful
vistas. What if that's what it is? What if it's just one mad big hoax, like big chase just to get people outside?
Exactly. People have claimed it. People have said, like, you're lying. Like, I know, I follow all your clues to the exact spot and there's nothing there. And they're like, he's saying he's a fraud, he's a liar.
Has he ever responded to any of these statements or anything?
Yeah, he comes out in the news like every so often. He's like 90 years old now, but he's still living
to this day, yeah?
He's still living to this day. Wow. He's been sued unsuccessfully. People have like threatened to take him to court, saying that it's false and he's, you know, deceiving people and all this. So much. A lot of controversy has like been kicked up. A lot of park rangers are annoyed because they've got people coming to the parks digging up, you know, in like places they're not supposed to be. Like some guy dug up like a
protected piece of land or something, was it? No.
Yeah, exactly. Under like some ancient cross and stuff.
Jesus. Yeah, because I mean, those areas that you mentioned, like that's like rife with like Native Americans as well. They've got a lot of protected land and stuff up there too. You know what I mean?
It's fucking rife with idiot Americans.
Yeah. Okay.
Never mind Native Americans. Yeah. Like, there's one guy who he thought he found it. He dug up like a, I think he bought it was from like a church or something. He dug up like a, some sort of sanctity box, something that you're not supposed to really touch. He dug it up and he took it away, and the police were like, "You've got to get back." And he had a gun, and he was like, "No, this is Forrest Fenn's treasure. What? I'm not giving it up." Before that whole thing was cleared up, so like a lot of shit has happened.
Oh, has anybody ever faked it? Has anybody ever faked the discovery or anything? No,
Actually not sure, to be honest, if they have or not. I haven't read anything about it.
Be kind of forced to be like, "No, that's not it," you know.
Yeah, he would process of elimination. It's not there. Yeah. But yeah, Forrest Fenn has always claimed part of his motivation was to get people out there, to get them into the nature. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people believe, not in a sinister way or not in a cynical way, they believe that his treasure is a metaphorical one. So it's like your rediscovery of the outdoors, of the beautiful nature that's right out there in the American heartland.
Yeah.
That's the treasure, you know, that's what you discover.
Your health.
You know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of people claim that they're like, we've done the thing, you know, and we followed his instructions perfectly, and we got to the vista, and that was the treasure. We realized that this is the treasure, and that's what he intended the whole time.
He'd be pretty.
Fenn insists on what's real, like the treasure.
It is a physical treasure.
There's a bronze box, and it's got all of these contents inside of it. So, all these people searching. Will it ever be found?
I hope. What?
It just was.
No, it wasn't, D.
It just was. June 6th, 2020.
No way.
Yeah, it was found.
The actual treasure.
That's why the literal Forrest Fenn has come out and said it's been found. There's pictures of him with it. Yeah, it's found. It was discovered. Someone found it.
What? That almost makes me a little bit mad because I was like...
You wanted to go find it, right?
Right, go on. Tell me the story then. Who found it or where or why or how?
So there's still a little bit of intrigue here.
Okay.
June 6th, 2020, Forrest Fenn confirms the discovery of the treasure to local media. He says an anonymous searcher from the East Coast sent him a picture of the chest and provided specific details of the treasures within. And that was enough to confirm to Fenn that it had been discovered. So he was convinced that this guy had actually genuinely found it. He'd seen pictures and the guy had mentioned specifics of what was inside.
Have the media seen pictures or...?
Yes, so a few short weeks later, Fenn released pictures of himself with the physical objects. So the guy who hid them, he was like holding them in front of him. He opened the box and he showed, and he was wearing like a bracelet that had been like put in.
Mm-hmm.
So he had all these like physical objects, and he says this is the discovered treasure.
Uh-huh.
However, the finder has asked to remain anonymous.
That's strange.
And Fenn has claimed, he says, that's the two things I always said. Whoever finds it gets to decide whether to say who or where. So they get to say who they are, and they get to say where they found it.
Oh.
So we don't actually know who it was who found it, and they haven't revealed where it was.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
So the guy who hid it has claimed it's found. And we're, you know, presumably have to believe that some man from the East Coast has found it.
That's kind of shitty.
It is kind of shitty, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to find, like, we need to solve the riddle. We need to
I just wanted a definitive kind of here, this is where it was, you know?
On June 22nd, he confirmed that the chest had been hidden in Wyoming, so the state of Wyoming, but has not provided any more specific details yet. Many are still hoping to narrow down the exact location of the find and hoping to find out more details in the coming weeks and months. But for most, the chase is well and truly over.
That's so disappointing because, like, it just seems, what age is this guy now? This guy is what, 90?
He's like 90s, yeah.
Like, part of me is thinking, did he just call it, like, I know he said legacy and all, but like, because he knows he's kind of getting on and he just wants to end the whole thing before he dies, maybe?
Before he dies. Possibly, yeah. I believe that somebody found it.
Why would you not want to come out and be like, I'm the person who found, especially in this day and age, like, you could be a fucking celebrity after this. Do you know what I mean?
I think the only reason I can think of why they wouldn't say where they found it, you know, they don't have to say who they are, like... I know a lot of people would.
Saying who they are, I think, would bring more value than saying where it was. Because if you say who you are, you know, you could get like...
Yeah, but then it's like, you know, when you win the lottery and you can choose to remain anonymous, but they take away a certain chunk.
But like, I mean, you could get a book deal out of that, or like a show deal, or tell your story. You could just make up, even if you were just out for a fucking walk and you tripped over, you could make up this big hocus pocus bullshit story about how you plotted like this journey for years, you know?
Yeah, I really don't understand why they haven't come out with more information. I'm hoping that like in the next month or two or something,
why not say where they found it as well? That's strange, you know.
I think like they're online, the people who have been talking about it. So some people don't believe that. Some people believe like yourself, like it's kind of bullshitty. Other people are kind of more willing to believe it. They think it's because if you've told them where they found it, then you would know that people would work out, oh yeah, I remember that guy. He was here and he stopped for gas in a certain place and disrupted the road. Then they found it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. So they'd know who found it?
Yeah, I think. But like, I don't know. Like, I'd say you have to. I'd say no one's going to legitimately accept that this chase is over or that it was real in the first place until he says, this is where we found it. This is the spot. And you can work out, you can follow all of the clues and that'll lead you to the spot. And that's explain the whole thing. But it's almost better if it hadn't been discovered. Am I right?
Yeah, I would 100% prefer that the legacy lives on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if it was 100% faked. I'm not saying it was or is or what. But just, that kind of closure is like not closure that I want.
Yeah,
you know,
kind
of way.
You'd rather live in ignorance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I believe that it's true, even if it wasn't. But I agree with that. Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm still, you know, finger crossed. I'm hoping that there's a good ending, a satisfying conclusion to that one. But that is the story of Forest Fenn's treasure and the massive worldwide treasure hunt that went on to discover it.
It's a fucking great story, though. I haven't heard anything about that. Like,
yeah, it's just a great little tidbit. I really hope that they make it an annual event.
Well, do you know what I was just thinking? How cool would it be if, like, we planted treasure, buried treasure somewhere, and just week by week on the podcast, just revealed a little clue, and see who can find it.
Depending on the amount, we could get a lot of listeners.
Yeah, well, that's it. And because we are so like bi-weekly, tri-weekly, every other month, I mean, you're not going to get a whole pile of clues from us.
It would be a real slow burn.
Yeah.
Real slow.
Yeah, we'd have to reveal quite a bit. That's unreal. But I'm disappointed that like it's over. You know, I don't want it to be over. I want that to keep going.
You want a chance to go over there and look for
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to believe. I was already like planning my flights and how much it was going to cost me. Oh, shit. That's class, though. What a get. Forest Fenn. I'm going to look this up and I'm going to buy his book as well because I'm not convinced.
I'll find the real clues. I'll find the real treasure.
That's awesome.
It's in his backyard.
Was your thoughts on it kind of similar to mine that you kind of didn't really want it? It's kind of shitty. It's a shitty thing.
I need a more satisfying end.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. I don't mind it being over. Like, I kind of like the idea that somebody found it. I think that's really cool. But I want to know for sure if somebody found it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If it's over like that, at least let me know who found it. At least come out and tell us where, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've only been invested in this story for, like, the guts of an hour now, and I'm already, like, you know? What about these people who have, like poured, like all... Like, yeah, what about the people who have, like, poured, like, hundreds of thousands into, like excursions or, yeah, whatever. Jesus.
You know, they...
That's mad.
It's like... They were doing something. They got enjoyment out of searching. So I mean, I don't think they'll feel like it was a waste of time.
The true treasure was just finding it yourself. Was getting out with nature.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for it, Sam.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I hope all of our listeners enjoy that too.
If you want to see an Empty Promise sponsored treasure hunt,
yeah,
in the
that'd be awesome.
Greater Armagh area,
I think we could do it. I mean, it doesn't have to be. We could go. We could go anywhere.
Good.
That'd be awesome. I think we should do that, but okay. Okay, let's move on into finish up this podcast with our weeks. How's about that?
Yep, sounds good. Sounds
okay.
Good.
What have you been up to, Lindy? Let me know.
I actually had a pretty quite a few things happen. Last weekend, my parents came up to Belfast just because now the restrictions are kind of lifted a wee bit.
Yeah,
they can.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was nice. We went out for a nice meal.
Nice.
Sticks and Stones.
Oh, I was... Steak. Yeah, I was just about to ask.
Nice. So good. Yeah, it was tremendous. Really, just like everything... It was so funny. It was like everything we had there was just really nice. Like the...
Yeah.
Obviously the meal, the steak, the sides, the drinks. Like Laura had a mojito, which was like delicious. I had a couple of sips of it. The desserts.
Did you have any fine beverages yourself?
Did I have... Yeah, I had a... Prava.
Oh, Prava. Okay.
Prava.
Nice. Okay.
I'm not mad about having a beer with food.
With food?
Yeah. So I normally drink before and then I eat my food without touching it because
yeah.
I don't like the mixture of the tastes.
Okay.
But yeah, that was fine. My mum then had an Irish coffee right after and it was like, you know, just perfectly crafted. The whole experience was just really nice. Top drawer.
Yeah. That's Sticks
and
Stones?
Sticks and Stones, yeah.
Okay.
I recommend it.
Go eat there. Go eat there.
100%.
Did you cook yourself? Do you cook your steak yourself?
Yeah, on the stone. That's right. Yeah.
But I mean, do you do that yourself? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because you can get it. You can do it without it, yeah. You can like, they can cook it for you, yeah.
You get the chef to
cook it. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I like the novelty of it. And it's kind of cool because you can like make it, you know, you can have something rare. And then get something well done, something medium. You know?
Yeah.
Get your own legging there on the plate.
Nice.
With that, Chris, will you hear? Yeah, I've been playing a bunch of games recently.
Have you?
I have.
Thank God,
you guess what it is?
What the hell are you playing there? I mean, should I know? Should this be really obvious?
No.
No.
Wouldn't be obvious.
No, I have no idea. What console?
That would give it away.
Switch?
No.
Xbox?
Close though. No.
The DS?
So random. No, it's the Wii, man.
Oh,
playing
no
Wii
way.
Sports.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Excellent.
What happened? When we were down in Derry News the week before last, it just happened to be set up. We played a little bit of like Wii Sports and like Laura was like, we have got to get one of those for the house.
Yeah.
And that purchase was made and it arrived and literally the day it arrived, we were straight into, we were playing bowling and tennis and golf. And
man, it's one of like the best free like games you can ever get with a console when you purchase, you know, when you first got that, it's incredible. Yeah. Personally, bowling, tennis, and maybe golf. I'm not a big fan of baseball or the boxing.
No, I don't care about baseball or the boxing. I'm more fond of golf in this one than I was ever before.
Yeah.
Because it's good. Yeah, quite fun. Mm-hmm. And then all the wee mini, like the training mini games as well.
Yeah, yeah. They're brilliant. Great crack. Yeah.
But yeah, it's great crack.
Excellent.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm playing that. Good. Yeah, the only other, like, I say, interesting piece of news happened this week. It was crazy. Did you know you can't feed dogs grapes?
No.
Did you know that? No. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I've given my dog a grape or two before.
Yeah. Don't give your dog grapes.
No.
Ever.
Why?
So we had grapes, drop one on the floor, and the dog came over and eat it. And we were like, oh, they really enjoyed that. So we give them another one, give them mm-hmm. one each. And then just, we're about to go back. We're playing. We're in the middle of a game of golf in the, on the Wii. Bowling, actually.
The game
on
of the Wii. Golf. Yeah.
And just as it stops me, I turn and look up. I was like, I wonder if that's, you know, is it okay to feed a dog grapes? And I look it up, and it is not okay to feed a dog grapes.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, we only give them one or two, right?
What is it? What does it do? Or
they don't even know, right? They don't even know. They just, it's been observed. They don't know what the, they don't know what the active element is that makes it so toxic. But it's like toxic, and it can cause kidney failure.
No way.
Right? Grapes. Kidney failure. And like, yeah, kidney failure, and it can happen with one or two grapes.
Jesus.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the size of the dog or anything like that. Like, one or two grapes can do it. But it's completely, it's almost random. It's like, you could give them one grape and that could do it, and they could just poison them essentially. And you have to like take them through the vets and get their like kidneys like flushed with IV and all.
Shit.
Or you could feed them a whole bushel of grapes, or I don't know, whatever a large quantity of grapes is called.
Bunch?
A whole bunch of grapes.
A punnet of grapes.
A whole punnet of grapes, yeah. And that particular dog may just not react at all. Just doesn't faze them.
No way.
But from what we read online, it's like, yeah, the risk is literally one or two.
Yeah, it
could be risk, potentially lethal.
Yeah, that so like outweighs the anything really.
So we rang up the vet and we had to get them straight up to the vet, like stat. Like, it was so funny. I couldn't believe it. I was like, well, I wonder what'll happen. And the girl at the vet was just like, oh yeah, we'll have to take them in. Can you bring them up in the next 20 minutes? And I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We got up and they had to like, because we have two dogs and one of them's only a wee puppy as well, so they both had to be like made throw up.
Wow.
Or clear out the contents of their stomach. And there was talk about like overnight with an IV and everything. Like,
Jesus.
So shocked by all of this. I was just not expecting. I was obviously like worried as well, and they kept asking, do you have insurance? And I was like, no fuck,
no.
We had insurance, but we like it expired like a month ago, and because the new puppy had like 1 month free insurance, we were waiting until that had finished before we got it for both of them. And literally the day before, I got the notification on my phone saying buy insurance, but I didn't because it was the day that mommy and daddy were up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I put it off and says, I'll do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow this happened. I couldn't believe it.
Jesus, but, man.
Yeah. It didn't didn't end up too bad, but like they kept, I just remember being asked twice, like, do you have insurance? And I was like, no. I think this is going to cost an absolute bomb. But
Jesus.
It was dead on. Once they had thrown up, the vet was like, yeah, like you could see two grapes. You could see like almost fully formed. So like, there's very little actual real danger. So you can take them home and just monitor them. And they're dead on now.
That's run insane. Around, I did not know that. Thank you for filling me.
That is a PSA for all the dog owners out there. Do not feed your dogs grapes.
Yeah.
You may be okay, but like just don't even take the risk. Just don't let them get grapes.
No.
It's like chocolate or raisins as well. Raisins are just concentrated grapes. Well, don't give them raisins.
That's true, yeah. That's exactly what a raisin is, yeah. Holy shit. Dogs are so weird like that though. Like they can tolerate so much and then like a grape would fucking kill them.
They could literally eat metal. They could just eat a whole thing of metal. And then they'll be fine.
Dogs eat like shit.
Feces. Human feces. But Jesus. Yeah, not chocolate, not grapes, and there's like onions. No onions. Don't give them onions.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Don't give them onions, man.
What?
They're strange animals.
They are. Wow. So you had a productive. Did you at least get
productive
back?
Productive
weekend. At least get back to the bowling.
We did. We finished the game. We got home from the vet two hours later.
That's the important thing, Dee.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. No, I'm glad everything and everybody is okay. But that's madness. You had a much more productive week than I did. I didn't have a very productive week.
I wouldn't call it productive, but yeah.
I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the things that I've been watching, because I've watched quite a bit this week, actually. Hidden Gems, Adam Sandler movie, Netflix. Have you watched it?
No, I heard he should have won an Oscar for it or something.
Fuck, Dee, watch that movie. Oh, it is a great movie. It is fantastic. Cannot recommend it enough. Don't want to give it away, so I'm not going to say anything about it. Well, 100%. Yeah, I could see him being an Oscar nomination for that. Really, really good. And it's Adam Sandler.
I think he missed out though, didn't he? I think Adam was saying he should have got it. But.
It's incredible. That and have you watched Ozark yet?
No. I've heard it's good. Jason Bateman?
Fuck. Yeah. Yeah. That good? Yeah. Like first episode, you'll be like, okay, we're gonna fucking binge watch this now. That good. Jason Bateman is incredible. Incredible.
Excellent. I've heard he directs it as well now.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I'm only like 5 episodes in. It just keeps getting better. He keeps getting better. The whole story keeps getting better. The watch Ozark soon.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that is a Chris recommendation on this podcast. An episode 9. Go watch Ozark if you haven't. I also watched Moneyball this week as well. You know, Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill.
I love Moneyball.
That's a fucking great movie, dude.
I love that movie. That is a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I like baseball movies.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching baseball. It's kind of like,
yeah,
takes probably longer than you'd expect it to take, and it's not always super exciting. But that's kind of where the drama comes up.
But you got Brad Pitt and you got Jonah Hill.
Yeah, both doing like phenomenally.
Yeah, and it's
you also got a Chris Pratt in there. I think
that's right. Yeah, you got Chris Pratt. Yeah, yeah, and the fact that it's a true story as well just adds to it. So
yeah, the tension in it, man, is so good.
It's unreal. It's crazy what he did, not only for them but like for the sport. It was carried on a bit, I guess, but like
I'll always watch Moneyball. Yeah. Great film. I've watched it like 4 times now.
Have
so
you?
Weird. Yeah, I know. It's so weird.
It's not an overly exciting movie. Yeah. It's not like loads happens, but it's a solid story. Like, I also watched Everest this week as well. You ever see
Everest? What's that like? No.
Yeah, it's great movie, but it's like it's quite depressing. I guess.
Oh, that's not like good.
But it did give me inspiration to go ahead and
climb Everest.
Well, that too. But hook out some more extraordinary feats for our series.
Oh yes, yes.
Fantastic human feats. So I have like 2 or 3 episodes lined up for us, D. So after episode 100, I'm good with the content for like at least 2 episodes. So you know, we're sorted.
Yeah, good stuff.
No, I haven't played anything this week. I've just been watching more. Like, I've watched a lot of that Ghost of Tsushima and speedruns. I'm really into speedruns these days, D. So, watching a lot of speedruns. And that's it. That is literally it. It's been so boring. I haven't even read. And this week, I know I'm going to read The Slab, Gears of War, The Slab.
Why? Yeah. What's encouraging? Because
I have had that book, I've read it at least once a year, I think. As far as I remember, or at least enough times to merit me reading it once a year. I've had it. So I seen it the other day and I was like, I'm going to read that. That's such a
good
book.
Read you.
Yeah. That's the only one I want to read. So I'm going to read it. Maybe Anvil Gate. But yeah, that's it. That's it. Really, really boring. Just trying to get some stuff planned for episode 100 and get back in touch with some of the guys and see if they're available for it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
And just the fact that we're going to be back together for it as well. None of this
face to face
correspondence over the interweb, D. Mm-hmm. But no, that's all I have to offer in terms of my week. It's been pretty boring. But I'd say by the time episode 100 comes around, you won't be able to get me to shut up about my weeks. It's going to be that in depth, you know.
That's how extreme it's going to be.
I'll actually start recording everything I do.
Yeah. Just vlog it. Just vlog.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Fuck that. So much easier. Yeah.
More content for the channel.
Well, that's it. I've got nothing else to add. Do you have anything you want to add? Any closing thoughts?
I don't think so, no. No. I hope that... Okay. Everyone, let us know. Do you want to see us do the Empty Promise podcast, Treasure Hunt?
Yeah, yeah.
Greater Armagh area.
That'd be pretty cool.
And maybe more.
Yeah, and maybe more. We'll put it out there. Maybe more. And each week we can unveil a new clue on the podcast, and we'll genuinely put something in there. Like it'll be good. It'll be a good prize.
Something like a voucher.
For the Empty Promise like podcast.
For the keys in Nure. That's what it's gonna be.
Oh.
Butterfan?
Sainsbury's? Maybe. Just, yeah. Not even a one for all. It's going to be dedicated. Yeah. You know, yeah. Something that nobody really wants.
£10 off every shop over £100.
Yeah. Just a single £10 voucher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. That'll do. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I have nothing else to add to this podcast except this. Remember, you can find the audio version of the podcast over in any podcast hosting service. If you want to watch the video version, just head over to our channel at www.youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast. You'll find the video versions of this and every other podcast that we've done video versions for over there. You can get in contact with us through any of our social media sites. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast as the handle, or email us at
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
You kill that every time. You're so good at that.
I have one job and I'm proud to say I nail it every time. It's so
nice. Thank you very much. Remember, we will be back probably on the 14th, 15th, 16th of August, around that, for episode 100. That's when it's coming. But be on the lookout. We will have more content before that. I'm sure of it. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you to everybody who's listened to us and tuned in weekly. We love your support. Remember to use discount code EMPTYPROMISE over at Kildare Labs to get 20% off your first purchase of the good product. If you don't know what that is, look it up. The link's in the description. It's just, I've already spoke about it. So at this point, I just want to, yeah, perfect. And we will see you all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed next time on the podcast. Goodbye and God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.